This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is such a joy to be with all of you in worship, whether you are joining us in person here in the sanctuary or online. We are grateful to be together and to worship God on this second Sunday of Advent. As we gather this morning, I would invite all of you to let us know that you're with us by registering your attendance. If you're here in the sanctuary, the registration pads are at the middle of each row. If you could pass those down and back again. And if you're worshiping online, there should be a link available for you to click on and let us know that you're with us. As we gather in worship today, just a couple of announcements about today and then a few about later on in the season of Advent. Throughout the weeks of Advent, we will have our mission market going in Reed Hall here at in this building. And our vendor for today is Harvest Hands. And they sell coffees and soaps made by local teenagers who are learning business skills and who roast the beans themselves and make the soaps themselves. Also outside are some products from artisans in Guatemala brought back by our Guatemala mission team. Today during worship, if you are in the sanctuary, we will be celebrating communion in a way that seems a little more familiar, the way we would do that prior to COVID. We are going to invite you, if you feel comfortable, to come down through the center aisle and kneel at the altar rails. We have bread. It is all gluten-free bread that we will serve you and cups that we will serve you and invite you to stay at the rail and pray as long as you would like. There are more detailed instructions in the bulletin. So you take a moment to read those. If you'd rather not come forward in that way, Stacy or I will be coming through the sanctuary with our prepackaged elements as well. And of course, as always, from home, we welcome you to have bread and water, juice, or wine with you to celebrate as we share this meal together. This afternoon at 4:30, our adult choirs will be offering the first part of Handel's Messiah, both online and in person, and we would love to see you as a participant in that wonderful traditional piece of music. Then next Sunday at 5:30, we'll have our candle lighting service, a service of lessons and carols, which is a wonderful tradition here at West End, and we're so grateful to be able to celebrate it again together this year. And finally, on the last Sunday of Advent, on the 19th at 6:30 p.m., we will have a service which we call the Service of the Longest Night. It's particularly a special service for those of us who might be having a difficult time this season, missing a loved one, going through a season of grief or struggle. This is a time of worship that helps us bring all of that to God and sing and pray and feel the peace of Christ that comes during this season of Advent. I believe those are the announcements that I have and hope that you'll be paying attention to our website and the posters and all the things so you don't miss any opportunities to gather, to serve, to grow, and to learn during the season of Advent. But now we turn to this time of worship where we hear the song of Zechariah proclaiming to all the tender mercy of our God. So let us worship together.
Christ, redeemer of us. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. God has remembered promises of the past. God's deep compassion inspires a thrill of hope.
We light this second candle of our Advent wreath as a sign of God's mercy in Christ coming into our world. Hear these words from the prophet Malachi. See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years.
The gifts of the Advent season are hope and peace, love and joy. Let us now make our confessions before God, that by God's grace we might receive these gifts in abundance and in turn share them freely with others. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friends, hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation in love in whatever ways are most comfortable to you. May the peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you. Let us join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel, Luke 1, verses 68 to 79. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus, he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The word of God for the people of God.
I'd like to invite all of the children who are in the sanctuary to come and join me. Since it's Communion Sunday, the rail is closed, so we're going to go this way and come to this opening here. And if you're joining us from home, you can get a little closer to your screen. Come on this way. Yeah, good job. Wow, look at all these wonderful people. Hooray, hooray. This makes me so happy. I think we're breaking a record today. All of these wonderful faces up here. Listen how happy everybody is to see you guys. Oh, happy, happy. Come on up.
My birthday bear.
Oh, your birthday bear. Well, that is a special bear. So we are in the middle of a season out in the world that a lot of people call Christmas, the Christmas season. And there's a Christmas song that we might sometimes hear. Come on in, have a seat. Plenty of room over here. About Santa Claus. And it goes like this. Sing it with me if you know it. You better watch out. You better not cry. Better not pout, I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. Yeah, you know that one. But you know what? In the church right now, we're in a different season, a season called Advent. And we light our Advent wreath. Some of you made Advent wreaths last week. We have the color blue that kind of marks our season. And we learn about God, who is coming to us because God loves us. And you know what? God does not keep a naughty list. It doesn't matter if sometimes we are a little naughty or sometimes we pout, sometimes we cry. You know what? God loves us anyway. And there's nothing we could ever do that will make God stop loving us. So I want you to remember that God always loves you, and Jesus Christ is coming anyway. Let's pray together. Gracious God, it gives us so much joy to be together today, both in person and online, and to see all of these beautiful children who are here to worship you. Thank you so much for loving us always, no matter what, and that even if we don't always live up to what we want to be, that you love us anyway, and you come to live in our hearts to help us be more like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. If you're 3 years old, 4 years old, or 5 years old, you can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Chapel. And if not, you're five? Okay, you're five now. Yay. You're three? Okay, you can go with Pastor Maggie. So can you. Four, that's right, perfect age. You can go there with Pastor Maggie.
I'm
Okay, you know where to go? You're six. Okay, wonderful. I feel like I've been singing a lot lately in those children's messages. This is a time of year when we sing a lot of songs. We all have our favorite songs that we like to sing this time of year. Our scripture reading this morning is actually a song. It's sometimes called a canticle or a prophecy, and it is sung by a man named Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. The way Luke tells the story of Jesus' birth, he leads up to it very gradually and builds up to it by weaving it in with the story of John the Baptist's birth. And so the Gospel of Luke opens with Zechariah hearing a word from the angel Gabriel that he and his wife are going to have a son, John, and that their son is the prophet who will prepare the way, prepare the people, and get them ready to receive the Messiah. As I spent time with this canticle, which is sometimes called the Benedictus, there's one verse that rose up for me. Maybe you heard it too. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us. Tender mercy. If there's one thing I need right now, if there's one thing our world needs right now, it's a little mercy. Earlier this week, our friend Rodney Pickett, one of our church members, sent me a link to a song by a woman named Mary Gauthier. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing her name right, but it's called Mercy Now. And the first verse is about her father who could use a little mercy now. The second verse is about her brother who could use a little mercy now. The third verse is about the church and our country that could use a little mercy now. I think we could all use a little mercy. And here Zechariah is singing and blessing God for God's tender mercy that God is pouring out. Now, Zechariah is singing about mercy in a lot of different ways. On the basic, simple level, he's singing about the mercy that God has shown to him and his wife, Elizabeth. You see, Zechariah and Elizabeth were getting on in years. They had given up hope that they would ever be able to have a child. They had borne that grief, and in their day, there was some shame that came with that because people judged them for that and thought that God was somehow punishing them. And they had borne that for years and had hoped and prayed for a child. And then the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah while he's in the temple. He's a priest working in the temple and says, "You're going to have a child." And Zechariah asks Gabriel, "Now, how's this going to be? Because, you know, we're a little old for that." And Gabriel says, "Because you questioned this and didn't trust me, you're not going to be able to speak until the child is born." And so he remains mute for 9 months, and then 8 days after John is born, when they're dedicating him in the temple and they name him John, his mouth is opened and his tongue is loose, and he sings praise to God. He sings this canticle and thanks God for the tender mercy that God has shown to him and Elizabeth. So it's personal mercy that Zechariah has received. But he also sings of the mercy that God is showing to Israel, that in the fullness of time, God is coming to fulfill God's promise and sending the Messiah to come and be one of them in the incarnation. And that God has not waited for Israel to get its act together or for Israel to get at a point where it had a pure theology and a perfect following of all of God's rules. No, God was coming because God loves Israel and is ready to show tender mercy to God's people. And indeed, Zechariah is announcing the tender mercy that God is pouring out on all the world, a world that is torn up by war and strife and all of the things that were happening, and yet God comes anyway. not waiting for the world to earn it or deserve it. That's what mercy is, after all. And so we hear these words, and they echo across the millennia from the voice of Zechariah to us. Can we hear them? Do we believe in the tender mercy of God? The love of God that is coming toward us even now in this season of Advent, not because we earn it, not because we deserve it, not even because we're ready for it, but because it's who God is and it's how God chooses to be toward us. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time really accepting that to be true. When I think about how God looks at me, so often I think God must look on me with judgment, with disappointment, that God must see all of my flaws, because I certainly see them. As I think about my life as a pastor, I'm so aware of my limitations and my failings and my sins and my mistakes. That feeling as a parent that I'm just not good enough, that I'm not a good enough citizen, that I fail in so many ways to live up to who God calls me to be. And so I just assume that that's what God sees when God looks upon me. Do you struggle with that too? Do you find it hard to believe that God looks upon you with tender mercy? That when God looks upon us, you, me, the world, God looks upon us with nothing but love? I think in my deepest core, I believe that. But I just need it every day to sink in to my heart and to my bones. Maybe you do too. So hear these words of Zechariah, the tender mercy of our God is not waiting for you to get your act together, is not waiting for you to have a crisp, perfect theology, is not waiting for you to get this one problem sorted out in your life or in your personality or whatever it might be. God has already come to you with nothing but love. How do we respond to a God like that? Here we have a story where God is about to send the prophet John the Baptist to get the people ready. And he has a job to do. And Aaron will help us explore the ways that John the Baptist does that in some of his preaching. And it may sound like he's saying, now you better watch out. You better not cry. You better get ready. God's coming, and God's coming with judgment. But these words of John the Baptist, the preparation that we need to get ready for the coming of Christ into our world, is not to make sure that we're lined up straight and we've got everything perfect so that we'll deserve God's grace. It's breaking us open so that we will understand how much we need it. If we can open ourselves to God's tender mercy that is already for us, that is not based on our deserving or our readiness or our perfection, then perhaps we can let it change us. The tender mercy of our God, once it takes root in our hearts, can begin to shape us into those who look upon the world, who look upon others with nothing but love, with tender mercy. And so, my friends, in this season of Advent, may the voice of Zechariah remind us of the God who comes toward us today, the God who already loves you completely just as you are, the God who wants you to know in the deepest place of your bones the tender mercy and the love and acceptance that is already yours. And may we allow that love and mercy to shape us and send us out into this world that could use a little mercy now. Amen.
Please rise in body and spirit as we affirm our faith using number 883 in the United Methodist Hymnal, Statement of Faith of the United Church of Canada.
We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and to make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, in justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our prayer time, I invite you to lift up both your silent and your spoken prayers. If you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout the week, you can follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, please fill out the gray card in your pew rack that's in front of you, and you can place that in the offering box on your way out this morning. This morning, we offer our Christian sympathy to Barry Davies, who is mourning the loss of her husband, Ed Davies, who passed away on November 22nd. Services will be held on December 17th at 3 p.m., with visitation preceding the service beginning at 2 p.m. here at West End. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of our beginning and of our end, God who stands within and above time itself, we stand before you humbly and in awe. You are a promise maker and a promise keeper, and we know that you walk with us. As the weather turns colder and seasons change once more, you remind us that there is a rhythm, a sense of ebb and flow to each season. We continue once more our journey to understanding how you came to us on earth in the form of Jesus. We feel you calling us to notice, to be present, to see you at work in our world. And so we look up from our smartphones and our books into this world that you have given us. We give you praise and glory for all of the beauty in this world, for the way that nature speaks of your glorious deeds, for the way a beautiful tree or a waterfall can cause us to pause and rejoice, for the birds and the flowers who remind us of your ultimate care, not only for them, but for us. God, when we look up, we also see a world in need. We grieve once more the violence of another shooting in a high school. We pray for the family and friends of those impacted. We grieve the senseless deaths that we know happen all over and never make the news. We lament our inaction. We see our siblings who lack adequate access to housing and health care, and we ask you, O Lord, help us walk alongside them and create better opportunities for both. We hear word of those who are sick or recovering from surgery or on their deathbed, and we ask, O Lord, that you would be near to them, comfort them, protect them. In a world that practices war and conflict, guide our feet in the way of peace. God, as we notice those whom you have given us to care for and walk alongside, give us wisdom and discernment on how best to be with them. Help us to live out the vows we took in our baptism, to resist evil and injustice in whatever forms they present themselves. Help us speak truth to power, to show up for your justice on earth. And as we gather at your table and celebrate this holy meal, help us to remember the bounteous earth which gave forth the fruit and the bread. Help us to protect that earth and those from around the world who too come to this table. In humility, in love, and in covenant with you, we pray all of these things through the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And now, as we prepare to give our tithes and offerings, We recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue to live into our vital ministries in this community, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you who are worshiping with us online, you are welcome to give via the options listed on the screen or in the chat. And for those worshiping in person, there are offering boxes in the narthex at the back of the sanctuary where you can leave your offering following the service. Let us now offer our gifts, our tithes, our offerings, and our hearts to God, who loves us unconditionally.
Thank you. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, merciful God, creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets, who looked for that day where justice shall roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream, where nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Be seated. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent in the fullness of time to be a light to all the world. By your tender mercy, you have brought the dawn from on high to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and to guide our feet in the way of peace. Your own Son came among us as a servant to be Emmanuel, your presence with us. He humbled himself in obedience to your will and freely accepted death on a cross. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for all in my tender mercy for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as together we sing the mystery of faith. Your Holy Spirit on us gathered here in this place and across the world, and on these gifts of bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood.
And by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Now will you join me in that prayer that Jesus taught us, praying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The body of Christ has been broken and given with God's tender mercy to you and to me and to all. And the cup of salvation is poured out for us all for forgiveness of sin, for grace and life. The table is set, and our host is Jesus Christ himself. All who are present here, all who are not present here, are welcome at this table. This is the table of our Lord and Savior. There are, for those of you in the sanctuary, instructions in the bulletin that I hope you've had a chance to read, but we will invite you, if you feel comfortable, to come down through the center aisle and kneel at the altar rails. Our servers will come through with bread. They'll be serving with tongs. All of the bread is gluten-free. And if you will open your hands and remove your mask on one side to receive the elements, and then return your masks and stay in prayer as long as you would like. If you would rather not come forward and receive in this way, Stacy and I will be coming around with our prepackaged elements. Just make sure you raise your hand and get our attention so that we know that you have yet to receive the elements. As always, when we come forward, we have an opportunity to support one of the missions of our congregation. And December's communion offering will go to the pastor's discretionary fund. This account is used when our neighbors come into the church and ask for assistance with utilities, bus tickets, other needs that they might have. We've used this account to buy life-saving medications, to help with expenses from a medical procedure, and so much more. So your generosity goes directly to our neighbors, and we appreciate it very much. Any other instructions that I left out, since we're doing this for the first time in a little while?
I don't think so. Let's give this a try.
All right, let's come to the table and feast on the grace of our God. Let us share in the feast.
Thank you.
Will you stand as you are able and join with me in giving thanks? You have given yourself to us, Lord. Your love has made us a new people. Your glory has filled our hearts. And now may the tender mercy of our God fill your heart and change your life, that you may go out into the world and share that same tender mercy with others. And may that sharing give you peace. Amen.